A road rage shooting starts on I-40, goes onto I-95, and ends with a driver shot at a local gas station. We talk to the woman working behind the counter who heard it all unfold. Then, a mother and son accused in an elaborate drug smuggling scheme. Only on WRAL, a local sheriff tells us how his team caught them smuggling drugs through an emergency room bathroom.
When you'll feel a major change when you step outside, and I'm tracking the next system that could bring severe weather.
A suspect accused of shooting a man outside of a Johnson County gas station is on the run tonight. Good evening, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty. All this started as a road rage incident on the interstate. You can see it went from I-40 to I-95, eventually stopping at a short stop gas station in Benson, and that's where the shots were fired. WRL's Aaron Thomas live in Johnston County, where all of this unfolded. Aaron.
Yeah, Dan, behind me is actually those two major roadways that we're talking about. Both these drivers, they ended up driving on both I-40 and I-95, eventually ended up at the shortstop gas station. That's when the shooter got out of the car, shot this victim, and ended up driving off. If you look at your screen, we actually have surveillance pictures from the car that investigators are looking for. It appears to be a gray Dodge Ram truck that was last seen traveling south on NC Highway 242. I spoke over the phone with the lieutenant who's investigating this case, and he says that this happened Friday night after 10. Now, this was not a shootout between drivers. It appears that the suspect in the getaway truck is the only one who fired off those gunshots. Drivers I spoke with here tonight say that this type of activity is uncalled for.
If people would just slow down on the roads and respect each other, you know, things would be a whole lot better out here. But as long as people's in a big rush and can't slow down, you're going to have issues like that.
You know, certainly a scary situation for the drivers that frequent this gas station, as well as the clerk who was here at the time of the shooting. We'll hear some detail from her on our late news beginning at 10 on Fox 50. Dan?
All right, we'll check back in with you soon. Hopefully an arrest is made soon. Aaron, thanks for that live report. A Harnett County woman, we can tell you, is charged now with smuggling drugs to her son, who was locked up in jail. Now both of them are behind bars. This is a story you'll only see here on WREL. Sheriff Wayne Coates explaining to WRL's Gilbert Bays details of this woman's arrest and explaining the constant battle to keep illegal drugs out of their jails.
But Sheriff Wayne Coates says it is a nonstop battle for law enforcement officers across the country to stop illegal drugs from being snuck into jails. They've been dropped in by drone. They've been passed through fences and thrown over fences. But this latest scheme he's uncovered is just incredible. It's a constant battle.
Every day. Every day.
Harnett County Sheriff Wayne Coates says bars, cells, and fences are good at keeping inmates in jail, but they're not doing as good a job at keeping illegal drugs out.
We got word about somebody was going to be dropping some stuff over. We set up and we got them, sure enough. They threw it right over the top of the fence.
They've since closed the road used to make that over-the-fence drug drop-off. Coates says the latest drug smuggling case involves 65-year-old Ernie Barber and her son, 38-year-old David Barber. He's a habitual felon currently locked up in the Harnett County Detention Center. Coates says Barber would call his mother and tell her what kind of drugs he wanted.
She makes arrangements to get it, and then he tells her what bathroom to put it in and where to put it, make sure she hides it well.
The bathroom the sheriff is talking about is inside the emergency room of Harnett Central Hospital. That's across the street from the detention center.
Then he gets sick, or if he's not able to go because he's been so many times, then he sends somebody else, and they go over there, and we just happened to catch the one that went over there, searched him, and that's how we came up with it.
Mother and son now face several charges, including conspiracy to sell and deliver drugs. Their combined bonds totaled nearly $4 million. Meanwhile, Coates says his battle to keep illegal drugs out of the jail continues.
We know they're getting in somehow. This is just one way we were able to find this one, so we're going to continue to battle this every day.
Now, the sheriff says the hospital was unaware that their facility was being used to smuggle drugs, but he says he has new policies in place to make sure it doesn't happen again. In Harnett County, Gilbert Bays, WRAL News.
Meantime, Sheriff Coates planning to share some details of this case with sheriffs across the state so they too can make sure this isn't happening at their detention centers. The man accused of killing a 5-year-old in Durham was in court today. Authorities say Brian Luster murdered Chloe Fennell and shot her 15-year-old cousin. New documents WRL Investigates obtained showing Luster has actually threatened to kill a child before, along with multiple women filing restraining orders related to drugs and violence. WRL actually spoke with one of those women who talked about her experience after hearing about what happened.
Anytime somebody threatens your life or threatens a child's life is very scary because you don't never know what they could do, what they're capable of doing. I wasn't surprised, but it was very heart-wrenching, very sad.
Luster was assigned a court-appointed attorney and was given no bond. An early morning apartment fire in Fayetteville may have been set intentionally. It happened just before 5:30 this morning at the Summertime Apartments on Jeffrey Drive right there in West Fayetteville. Late today, police telling WRL they've arrested 31-year-old Alan McFadden and charged him with arson in relationship to this fire. 5 people were hurt. Authorities say all 8 units are a total loss. One man told WRL the fire was so bad he was forced to jump from a second-story window to make it out. The Red Cross is assisting the 15 people displaced by the fire. Tens of thousands of people in Wake County will get better access to health care through Medicaid expansion. And today, the county is taking some steps to make sure that happens smoothly. County leaders say they need to hire more than 70 new people to work in the Human Services Department. Those new positions help get eligible people signed up for Medicaid as quickly as possible. The county anticipates it will need to process about 50,000 new Medicaid applications. North Carolina lawmakers are trying for the 3rd time now to pass a law that would require sheriffs in the state to cooperate with federal immigration officials as part of HB 10, a bill currently making its way through the legislature. WRL's Shelley Jackson walks us through now how this bill would work.
HB 10 would force sheriffs to honor ICE detainers, a request to hold someone in custody beyond their release date without a warrant.
Nayeli Garcia's brother, Jose, lived and worked in the U.S. for 12 years, half his life. But that changed 5 years ago when Jose was driving to work.
He made the stop and the other car coming and hit the car for him. And the police coming and he go to the jail. And the police gave to immigration.
Garcia's brother was sent to Mexico when authorities ran his information and discovered he was undocumented. In 2018, several counties, including Wake, ended their voluntary participation in a federal program that allows local law enforcement to collaborate with ICE. But now Republican lawmakers are trying to make that cooperation mandatory. Representative Destin Hall is a sponsor for HB 10.
Sanctuary sheriffs are creating an environment where illegal aliens who have been charged with serious crimes in our state are protected from deportation and released back into our communities where they often go on to commit new crimes.
Stefania Arteaga with the Carolina Migrant Network says Hall wants a separate legal system for non-U.S. citizens.
If somebody goes back into the community, it's because officials have determined that they are able to do so. And so that is absolutely fear-mongering.
11 sheriffs, including Wake County Sheriff Willie Rowe, have written a letter to North Carolina lawmakers saying the bill poses an administrative burden on staff. It makes counties less safe and raises Fourth Amendment concerns. But Rockingham County Sheriff Sam Page supports the bill.
Anytime a person commits crimes and violates the law in your community, anytime you can remove the criminal element from the community, regardless who it is, it makes your community safer.
If the bill passes, Garcia says it will keep migrant workers away.
A lot of families, they feel scared, they feel sad, they feel stressful.
HB 10 has been sitting in the Senate Rules Committee since March. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
People in Lee County are under a boil advisory after a water main break caused many people in the city and county to be without water for several hours. As the city's water tanks refill, some residents still have low water pressure. City officials and county school buildings, they were closed today as the city worked to repair the issue. The city engineer telling WRAL that Sanford supplies water to the entire county.
But police, fire, and EMS are all able to fully respond to emergencies as needed, so it won't impact our ability to help the public in any way.
As far as the boil order, the city engineer says he expects that boil advisory to be lifted tomorrow if the samples come back good. Boating accidents account for over 60 injuries and 20 deaths in our state alone last year. Coming up, the leading causes of these incidents and what you should be watching out for when you're on the water. Plus, there is a new channel catfish record holder in North Carolina. After the break, we'll fill you in on just how big this one was when it stepped onto the scales. Kat.
The cold front has passed through the area, and that means we've got some drier air on the way. I'll show you how long the dry weather and little drop in humidity will last coming up.
Durham police are looking for a person they believe shot and killed a man outside of a shopping center this morning. Video here from the scene at Highway 54 and Alston Avenue. Officers responding just after 7 a.m. They found a man with gunshot wounds and tried to save him, but he did die at the scene. They shut down the area while they investigated. No word on the man's identity or the cause of this shooting. The search for a missing boater at Falls Lake is wrapped up now for the second day. Officials saying 21-year-old disappeared yesterday after a boat crash in severe weather. Dozens of first responders there from three different counties have been searching the lake near Holly Point Campground. Crews plan to stay on the water this evening until it gets dark.
Then for the safety and security of our teams out there, we're going to have to suspend operations for the night. But then we'll be back out here tomorrow morning and continue the search if we haven't had a successful resolution before that.
First responders are asking people to avoid that part of the lake as they search. Last year in North Carolina, there were 143 boating accidents, according to data. More than a third were the result of a crash with another boat on the water. WRAL's data journalist Allie Ingersoll has more on these statistics.
Before the search began Sunday into Monday for a missing boater on Falls Lake, there was a crash between two boats, a spokesperson told us. That's the leading cause of boating accidents around the country and in our state, according to Coast Guard data. The Coast Guard report shows that operator-caused issues such as inattentiveness, inexperience, excessive speed, and alcohol use are among the top contributing factors to boating accidents around the country, while those caused by equipment issues or weather are much less common. The Wake County Sheriff's Office said while it was raining heavily during the time of the crash on Sunday, the exact cause of it is under investigation. During the more than 140 accidents on our waters last year, 64 people were injured and 20 died. That means our fatality rate here in North Carolina is 5.2. In other words, about 5 people died for every 100,000 registered boats in our state. It's just under the national fatality rate, which is 5.4. When we zoom out, we can see that our neighboring states have higher rates than ours, rates which exceed the national one, too. Tennessee's is double it, actually, sitting at 10.9. The fatality rates spiked nationwide in 2020, the data shows. Between 2018 and 2022, 113 people died in North Carolina from boating accidents. For WRAL News, I'm Allie Ingersoll.
You don't have to drive far to see beautiful waterfalls this season. There are several beautiful and historic waterfalls right here in the Triangle. Lassiter Mill is tucked away in the middle of a Raleigh neighborhood inside the Beltline, the intersection of Lassiter Mill Road and Lassiter Falls Circle, and another at the Juniper Level Botanic Garden, hidden at in a secret garden not far from Raleigh. Also is Old Gilliam Mill historic site and covered bridge along NC 42 West in Sanford. You can find a full list of waterfalls around our area on our website, WRAL.com. North Carolina's Wildlife Resource Commission has announced a new state record for the biggest channel catfish. This is Justin Hall from Reidsville with a 27-pound, 7-ounce catch. That's a big fish. Hall says he caught it in a local farm pond near his home, adding the catfish was so big it bent his equipment, measuring over 36 inches long with a 25-inch girth. The previous record was a 26-pound catfish found in the Neuse River. And I mean, this one, a whole pound and a half heavier. So that is a big fish. As meteorologist Kat Campbell joins us, catfish get bigger than that. Some of the ones they pull out of our local lakes make me afraid to go swimming.
Oh, yeah. Lake Norman, I visit there often with my family, and it is rumored they call the giant catfish the Lake Norman monsters.
Yeah.
there. There's even a book written about them, too. Normie the Lake Norman Monster. It's a kid's book. So there's all kinds of websites where you can report sightings. But we got some big fish in this state, and we've got good fishing weather today. We had the rain early this morning, and then really comfortable temperatures this evening, at least compared to where we were every other day for the past week or two. 85 degrees right now in the Triangle, 79 in Fayetteville, 79 in Roxborough, 83 degrees in Rocky Mount. It's been a pretty nice July day, and if you want to get outside, get some exercise in, you'll be good to do it this evening. Temperatures should be in the mid-70s at 9 o'clock if you want to go for a late-night walk or dog walk. By 10 o'clock, lower 70s out there. But we know that this weather won't last, so try to make the most of it while you can. In Durham, you can see mainly blue skies at this point. The clouds continue to push east. Still more lingering clouds in our eastern counties, but we have dried out for the most part. It's just this small area of rain in the southernmost part of Sampson County there. Elsewhere, a few spotty showers, but most of the rain is at the coast and out of our viewing area at this point, and we'll continue to see it move to the east as this front clears the area. I do want to point out our front is connected to this low pressure system that has dumped tons of rain on parts of the Northeast. Vermont notably seeing some of the worst flooding out there today. They were under a high flooding risk. For us, the rain is out of here for the most part, and the drier air is going to be moving in. So tomorrow, our dew point 63. That number is great for July. The air is going to be pretty tolerable out there. Steamy by the time we get to Wednesday with dew points in the mid-60s. But we've been in the 70s for dew points, and that's where we're going to be again at the end of the week. So the muggy meter only down for a couple days before it goes right back up. And with it going up, we've got more moisture moving in, and we're going to see our heat index really climb this weekend, really back into dangerous territory. You'll start to notice the changes by Thursday. Thursday is going to be our transition day as the moisture begins to spread into the area. We get a small chance for rain, the heat index over 100 again. Friday and Saturday, though, look at these numbers, 93 with a heat index of 106. Saturday, 94. 110 is the potential heat index. So we're going to watch Friday and Saturdays closely. In terms of the heat index forecast, we do have better rain chances, so that could help to counteract some of the heating potential. We'll keep an eye on it for you. Outside tomorrow, it should be a great day to head to a pool if you have one nearby. 8 a.m., 71 degrees. By noon, 86. Still hot out there with highs in the lower 90s, at least not so humid, and you should not be dodging any storms. Look at that. Mostly sunny skies all day long. It will be a treat if you're able to hit up an area pool tomorrow. Wednesday looking good as well. It's just going to be hot. Make sure that you're taking some dips in the pool to cool yourself off. You're going to need it. 92 tomorrow, 94 on Wednesday. We stay in the mid-90s for most of the week, but you see growing storm chances. 50% on Friday, 40% on Saturday. And our storm chances begin to increase at the end of the week, not just due to more moisture, but also we have a system moving in. So that could help to trigger a better threat for severe storms. So we'll keep an eye on that potential as we get closer to the weekend, Dan.
Going to be hot this weekend, 110 with that heat index.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous. You'll feel that.
All right, thanks, Kat. Two Carolina Panthers legends will soon be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. Mohsin Mohamed and Julius Peppers coming up when the team plans to formally recognize them. Also, as a reminder, you can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WRL News Daily podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end. Our morning, noon, and evening newscast, as well as this 7 p.m. Newscast as a podcast each day. You can find WRL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Wake County can make a few million dollars worth of upgrades to the public transit this year. Commissioners voting today to accept nearly $3.3 million in some federal money. That money will allow the Go Wake Access program to provide some needed services for elderly and disabled folks. The Smart Ride service in northeastern Wake County also will benefit from this, and the county can plan for other microtransit services. A Raleigh company is featured in a Netflix documentary released today. We're talking about Collaborations Pharmaceuticals, Inc., which is in Raleigh on NC State Centennial Campus. The documentary is called Killer Robots and talks about the dangers of AI while helping answer questions like what happens when a machine makes life or death decisions. The North Carolina Department of Transportation is having some fun while promoting highway safety. Take a look at a picture they posted earlier today. It shows a pickup truck decorated with safety messages, reminding drivers the left lane is for passing, the right lane is for cruising. It also points out, you know, where the blinkers are that they should be used. The DOT captioned the photo saying, "Let's be real. When y'all take it up on your own to spread the word on traffic safety, it's a win." That's right. The passing lane is on that side. Forget it. $675 million is on the line today for the Powerball jackpot. No one matched all five numbers during Saturday's drawing, so the prize is going up. There have been 34 consecutive drawings without a big winner. You can watch this drawing live tonight right here on WRAL. Good luck. Meantime, the Mega Millions jackpot, that climbed up to $480 million. Same thing here, no big winner on Friday night, so there's more money on the line. Who knows, maybe win them both. That'd be fun. The next Mega Millions drawing is tomorrow night, again, live right here at 11 o'clock on WRAL. Two Carolina Panthers greats, legends, will join the team's Hall of Honor. Wide receiver Musa Muhammad and defensive end Julius Peppers, both beginning and ending their careers with the Panthers. Muhammad is the second in team history in all receiving categories, touchdowns, receptions, yards, all the important stuff. Peppers, he's an NFL legend, most sacks in Panthers history. He went three times All-Pro, was twice named as the NFL's All-Decade Team. Both players will be inducted at halftime of the Panthers game against the Texans on October 29th. A quick reminder for you, you can catch the MLB All-Star Game tomorrow night. Right here, players hit the diamond in Seattle this year. All the action gets underway here on Fox 50 at 8 p.m. The Home Run Derby is tonight, which is always fun. That was my favorite thing as a kid. All the best players in the league on Fox 50. Thanks again for making WRAL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and back here on WRAL at 11. We'll see you then. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.